immediately tell prosecutors that he had spoken with a Time magazine reporter about the outed CIA officer back in 2003. Fitzgerald met the grand jury today in what's believed to be just his second talk with the panel. An earlier grand jury expired in October on the same day it indicted Dick Cheney's former chief of staff, Louis Libby. He is due to go trial January on 5 counts of perjury, obstruction of justice, and lying to the FBI. The Senate today passed an amendment, 59-39, to cut George Bush's Iraq spending by $1.9 billion. Some of that money would pay for Coast Guard boats and helicopters and fences at border crossings. New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton says lawmakers are making a false choice by diverting some of the money George Bush wanted for Iraq war fighting to step up border patrols. Senator Clinton says the cuts proposed by New Hampshire Republican Judd Gregg take money from troop pay, body armor, and roadside bomb defense. But Gregg argues the reductions actually will come from other parts of the massive Pentagon budget. The Bush administration's Pentagon chief and the top diplomats went to Iraq today. The visits weren't announced beforehand to show support for the newly emerging Iraqi government. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld reinforcing the Bush administration's message the Iraqis should not expect American forces to stay. Come home. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says she likes the focus of the new prime minister. This is Air America Radio News.
to corn-based ethanol produced in America. Yet you've got to recognize there are limits to how much corn can be used for ethanol. I mean, after all, we got to eat some. And the animals have got to eat.
Oh, stop.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Let me notify New York while we're on the air. I have one awful echo that's stopping me from talking. So if y'all can get rid of it, I would appreciate it. Welcome to the program. It's 7 minutes past the hour. Lots of activity in D.C. today, most of it around Karl Rove. For the fifth time, he's been called in to testify before the grand jury. The fifth time. Look for an indictment coming on Karl Rove pretty quick. We'll talk about that in a minute. And an honest-to-God freeper is named White House spokes geek. Wow. Big surprise there. Got an email right before the program. For the program. From Scott. Who, the subject line says, percentage of Americans that don't matter, it rises to 41%. And Scott writes, Mike, my wife and I are among the 41%. This reinforces my belief that compassionate conservative is a profound oxymoron. And what Scott's referring to, of course, is this from the Associated Press. The percentage of working-age Americans with moderate to middle incomes. Did you hear that? Now, we're not talking poor folk. We're not talking working poor. We're not talking unemployed. We're talking working-age Americans with moderate to middle incomes who lacked health insurance for at least part of the year just in 2005 rose to 41%. In 2001, it was 28%. Percentage of working-age Americans with moderate to middle incomes who lacked health insurance for at least part of the year rose to 41% in 2005. The Associated Press calls that a dramatic increase from the 28% in 2001 without coverage. Yeah. Yeah. It just keeps on going. Yeah, but at least the queers can't get married, huh? George Bush is a godly man. Jesus talks to George. So if that 41% of working-age Americans can't afford health insurance, you know why they can't? Because there's a flaw in their personality. There is a flaw in their character. They need to pray harder or work harder or get the spouse to go to work, or maybe the kids if they're over 17. I got a fax from a listener in San Francisco who wants to know what we really know about the June 2nd tests in Nevada. And our faxer writes, do we really believe the test will not involve a nuclear device simply because the Pentagon says it won't? And our emailer writes, history suggests otherwise. Here's a quote from a March 14th, 2003 article titled Detonations and Deceit. It says, quote, when on July 16th, 1945, the first atomic bomb was tested at Alamogordo, New Mexico, the United States had a cover story ready to hide this fact. The cover story was a munitions train had blown up. People spoke of seeing the flash and hearing the blast, and it was all down pat. A munitions train blew up. Now, granted, we were in the final stages of World War II. The Germans had already surrendered. The Japanese were still fighting. And they were about to collapse, too, but the United States had to blow up several 100,000 innocent Japanese civilians, if you believe such a group of people existed, in order to make a point to the Soviet Union. So the sacrificial human beings in Hiroshima and Nagasaki were I guess that was the reason for the secrecy. Let's not let the word out that we have this horrific weapon. Let's just drop the damn thing. Now, the same article also notes, quote, Otto von Bismarck once said, "Never believe anything in politics until it has been officially denied." End quote. The official denial about the Nevada test has already been issued. Now, you can make the case that, well, now, if they were testing nukes, they would want the world to know about it because George Bush and his gang are psychotic, and they want everyone to be afraid of them. We can no longer compete on the global global marketplace. We don't have anything. We're not making anything anymore. We don't sell anything. What do we sell? What do we make? What do we sell? I know there must be something. I just can't think what the hell it is. Software, okay. Airplanes, okay. Isn't that where Hu Jintao went to Boeing and Microsoft? What else do we make? Okay, movies. All right. So there's a possibility that if this were really going to be a nuke test, Bush would want the world to know. So would Cheney, so would Rumsfeld, especially Rumsfeld, this decrepit old man who wants to go out with a bang, not a whimper. But on the other hand, there is the reaction of the American people. You know, nuclear test, a stated nuclear test in Nevada on June 2nd, just might peel us away from whatever the hell we watch on television. And I watch television. I don't watch television. I watch HBO. I love HBO. I love The Sopranos. Oh, my God, I love that program. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Ah, I love it. So if Bush were to announce it really is a nuke test, it might peel us away from our television sets, and we would do something like take to the streets. Go hide? No. If he were to mention it was a nuke test, it would peel us away from our television sets long enough that we'd run out and buy plastic sheeting, you know, maybe 20 of those 2.5-gallon water jugs, filled, of course, some canned tuna, you know, and stash it all away. Like, okay, well, back to the TV. So you don't know, do you? I mean, I don't know. But the possibility exists that on June 2nd, part of Nevada will be nuked. It'll be nuked. Part of Nevada will be nuked. Out there in the desert, 95 miles from everything, anything. And as my faxer writes, the mushroom cloud will be real if that happens. Just like the radioactive fallout that'll be blown in the wind will be real. Unless a whole lot of people start protesting right away. So, I don't know. Thanks for the facts, San Francisco. I appreciate it. I don't know. And the only two people I've heard that are screaming about this that I know of are Randy Rhodes and me. Am I wrong? Is anyone else talking about this? Jesus, I hope so. But I don't know. Does anyone know? I don't know. I really don't. And I don't think Randy knows either. We're just kind of guessing. These sons of bitches lied us into a war. They lied 3,000 of our almost now, or where are we, 2,600, 2,700? I don't even know. All our soldiers and Marines have been lied into early graves, early death, blown to pieces. Bush and his crew have lied, how many, 50, 70, 90, 100,000 Iraqis into the earth, into dirt naps that will go on through all eternity. Bush and his murderers have lied, how many of our soldiers and Marines, 18, 20, 25,000, into brain injuries and limbs blown off, and now they have the rest of their lives to try to deal with it. How many Iraqis have the rest of their lives to deal with catastrophic injuries. So if Bush will lie about this, and he will, he lies about everything because he is psychotic. What's to stop him from lying about the sort of test that will occur on June 2nd in Nevada? Huh?
Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. It's just the opening band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
No doubt about it. The internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much. When I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the internet, too. Isn't it time the internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at Geico.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I believe that it's very important for people to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
And I play with my yo-yo. Alex says, Mike, fear is what we sell. In regard to my kind of off-the-cuff question about what is it we selling or what do we make? What do we export? Really, you know. Chris says, hey, Mike, to answer your question, what do we make? Well, we're the largest arms merchant in the world. So what America readily exports to the rest of the world is death and destruction. What do we, you know, really, after airplanes and weaponry and software and films, and what do we, well, farm products. We do export a lot of farm products, yeah. What else? I'm lost here. If I were forced to answer on a quiz right now, okay, marijuana. You know, what are the leading exports in the United States right now? The leading cash thingies. You know, I have no idea. I really don't. I don't know. I know that so much of what we make and export, it comes from small businesses. I understand that. But that's kind of an interesting question. If you have an idea, send me an email. From James, Mike, I just saw the end of the NBC Evening News with Brian Williams. He was shamelessly promoting the film Flight 93 because, quote, it would remind us all of why we are fighting this war, end quote. My wife and I were floored. After everything we all now know and knew even then, this national anchor, James writes, says something that misleading and corrupt. I have decided that Williams is not just another pretty face, but is actually a dangerous force. He has astounded us with his mindless asininity for the last time. The NBC Nightly News is forbidden in this household from now on. Chet Hundley would not stop throwing up. Yeah, I hear you, James. I'm still addicted to CBS. I stopped watching NBC some time ago because of their ownership. General Electric, one of the largest weapons manufacturers in the history of the human race and one of the major polluters of everything. Everything! Earth, air, water, everything they pollute. So I stopped with them. And Brian Williams, to me, is... useless, absolutely useless. But it is not out of character. Wait till Tony Snow begins his snow job for the White House, huh? It's not out of character of these news readers. And oh, I know Tony Snow is a writer. He's a columnist. Oh my God, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Ooh, he's got a degree in philosophy. Ow, wow. He's still a punk. Absolute punk. So when the snow job begins, the White House snow job is now legit. Tony Snow. Get it? But it makes no difference. Tony Snow, Brian Williams, who else? Paula Zahn. I don't care who they are. They're interchangeable pieces. We all know this. They are all paid enormous sums of money to make us forget. This is the updated Ministry of Truth, within which Winston Smith used to work, only now it's called national television or news departments, whatever you want to call it. British Petroleum, their corporate profit last year was $22 billion, British Petroleum, BP. I've been intrigued for the past couple of years by their ads, BP, Beyond Petroleum. You know, a little green flower with the sun in the center or whatever the hell that logo is. Is it a sunflower or... a sun with green around, you know. Oh, their institutional ads are some of the best. We all know that ExxonMobil, every single member of their board should be instantly executed. There he goes again. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really mean it, doofus. One of those free republic types out there. Well, some bitch just said they should all be executed. I'm going to notify the FCC. Take a deep breath, sucker. Everyone knows the criminality of ExxonMobil. We've known it since the Exxon Valdez. Some of us knew it before that. I didn't. I didn't know anything about ExxonMobil, about how corrupt it was until the Exxon Valdez event in Alaska's Prudhoe Bay. I had no idea. Was it Prudhoe Bay? I had no idea. But then I learned. What was that, 15 years ago, 16 years ago? Do you know the people in Alaska are still waiting for the settlement from these sons of bitches? Huh? The court-ordered settlement? Oh, well, that's a different story. BP, British Petroleum. with their institutional ads really sucked me in. I'm just like, hey, well, yeah, all right. Hey, man, if I go to BP, I won't be killing the planet as quickly as if I go to Conoco. Because, you know, BP is really trying. They've got these additives. Or no, what do they have? It's something. I don't know. Scrubs the air. I don't know. I'm stupid. I'm just a driver, man. What do I know? I do talk radio. Blah, 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 blah. It puts me right above the guy that delivers my newspapers. No, I don't mean to insult the newspaper deliverer guy. But you know what I'm saying, right? I what do I know? Only what I read. Well, guess what about BP? Well, now you're going to have to wait. I'll tell you when we come back. British Petroleum, $22 billion in profit last year. $22 billion. You know, $1 billion is 1,000 million. And 1,000 million is like 100 million, 200 million, 300 million, 500 million, 700 million, 800 million, 900 million, 1,000 million. Now multiply that 22 times and you have their profit. Not their gross sales, their profit. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi. I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. So BP, $22 billion in profit in 05. What have they done? What have they done to bring my attention, to bring them to this program? Like I said, I've been, you know, just kind of like, I watch the BP commercials, and it's kind of like the old Kodak commercials. Whatever happened to Kodak? It's like the old Kodak commercials, you know, there's mom and dad and sis and grandpa and grandma, and they're taking pictures, and the picture, you know, 10 years later, and there's mom and dad and sis and brother and grandma. And then 10 years later, taking pictures, there's mom and dad and sis and brother and their kids and then 10 years, and you just sit there and you just get tears in your eyes, and, you know, when the commercial's over, you're just too damn upset to go ahead and continue watching the TV thing, so you get up and go get a drink or whatever and just go, damn, am I a sucker? I just go for those Kodak, you know. Whatever happened to Kodak? Well, BP ads started to get to me like that. I didn't sit there and cry or get tears in my eyes, but I thought, well, they really are socially responsible, BP. Look, All right, here it is from the Toledo Blade newspaper. In one of the largest penalties ever issued nationally by safety regulators, BP Products North America Incorporated has been fined more than $2.4 million because of unsafe operations at its suburban Toledo refinery. The citations announced yesterday came after U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration inspection found numerous violations similar to those found after an explosion a year ago at BP's Texas City, Texas refinery. That accident killed 15 and injured more than 170 people. Well, you know what's wrong with this story, the fact that the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration actually fined? How did that happen? How in the hell did that happen? Is that an agency of the U.S. government that somehow has slipped under Bush's radar? It hasn't been gutted? It hasn't been destroyed yet? Jesus, they're still issuing fines? Well, that's got to stop. The refinery, BP's refinery in suburban Toledo, was cited for 39 safety violations, all but seven of which were called willful. Willful. 32 citations were referred to as willful and egregious. Woo! The OSHA spokesman said, quote, we found very serious problems, the same kind of problems that caused workers' deaths in Texas, and we want to make sure they're dealt with. The agency fined the company a record $21 million in September in relation to 303 willful violations. 303. Stemming from the Texas explosion, the firm has paid more than $492 million to workers injured and relatives of those killed in the Texas City explosion. Regulators have yet to issue findings from investigations of three other BP refineries in the United States. BP spokeswoman Mary Caprala said,
we were disappointed by the citations.
BP is the world's second-largest oil and gas company. Its North American base is in Houston and has 37,000 employees. Well, the deaths of 17? How many were killed? How many killed in Texas? Not very many. Not very many. The parent company had record profits last year, more than $22 billion. Like I mentioned. So the fine, just for fun, $2.4 million fine out of a $22 billion profit last year. So what is that? 1/100th of 1%? 1/100th of 1%. What would that be? 0.01%. Am I right there? Of their profit. So the oil companies, here's another example. How many people died? How many people died in the explosion? 15. Doesn't matter. They had 37,000 employees. That means there were 36,900 and some that didn't die last year. So why make a big deal about the 15? See, that's the Republican attitude. Well, Malloy, 15 died. Yeah, but 36,985 didn't.
So, BP, go screw yourself. All right. In answer to the question, what do we make an expert anymore? Boy, you guys are just hopping tonight. Gloria writes, hey, Mike, the U.S. exports jobs. Prairie 2 says, Mike, one of our biggest exports to China is recycled newspapers. We also export raw materials like any other third world country. Arms sales are in rapid decline. We don't even make them our own anymore. The local avionics company was planning on outfitting the new Marine One copters that Bush flies on. The day after the election, the Pentagon announced the new copters would not be made here. They're being made in France. This is from Bill in Tampa. We make weapons, planes, software, overpriced drugs, genetically altered grains, Harley motorcycles, insipid movies, mind-numbing television, more kinds of unhealthy fast food and munchies than any other country on the planet, and fat, lazy, gizmo-addicted, uninformed lumps of flesh we call Americans who would let the country burn because, well, Survivor's on. I don't want to miss it. You people are getting exceedingly cynical. Is it from listening to this program? This is from Jeffrey. Mike, the largest U.S. export is trash. Yep. What is the United States' largest export? Waste paper to China. My friend Carl in New York City taught me this. Okay. Eleanor writes, the leading export, I think that our leading export would be jobs. We outsource more in the way of work than any other country, don't we? We send it somewhere else so that it can be done more cheaply than be done here. What's worse than taking a $15 an hour job away from someone who lives here? Think what happens when that $15 an hour person is no longer employed and someone overseas is paid, whatever, $3 a day. It's more than obvious. Well, I don't know, Eleanor. I can't figure out the sentence. anyway, I get your point. And this is from GE. We export jobs. We export lumber from our national forests. We export money. We export intellectual property, often in pirated form. Kaz writes, Mike, there's an interesting fact I heard on the Tom Hartman show. When Reagan came into office, we were the world's largest exporter of manufactured goods and the world's largest importer of natural resources. Today, we are the world's largest importer of manufactured goods and the world's largest exporter of our natural resources. You gotta love the Republican miracle transformation, eh? Yeah. Well, thanks for the answers. And regarding the $22 billion in profit, wait till that was for the year. So that's chump change to these oil companies. ExxonMobil is supposed to announce theirs, what, tomorrow or Friday? And the guesses are it's going to be around $10 billion for the first quarter, which will translate into $40 billion for the year, except, no, that's if everything stayed the same. And it's not. It's going to continue to go up. So it's astonishing the amount of money the oil companies are taking out of the pockets of Americans. Now, again, don't get me wrong, Ward in Japan, don't reach for your email to write me another blistering letter. I've said before, for years, I've said, let's let the price of gas go up to $5, $6 a gallon, which will serve a couple of purposes. I know it's going to make it hard on all of us. I understand. But at least then it'll put us on a par with the rest of the world, A. B, it'll teach us to get away from gasoline, get away from oil, and into something that makes sense. I don't know what it is because I'm not an engineer. But we have lots of engineers in this country. We import them from India, from Russia, from all over the place. Let our imported engineers come up with a new form of fuel. You know, corn. Isn't that what Bush talks about? Corn. So as far as gas prices are concerned, Kathy came home the other day and she said, see, we had a lease car for about a week because of the tree that fell in her house and fell in my truck and yada, yada, yada. So it's all taken care of now. The truck is anyway. The house is still a mess. But we have to turn in the lease car. It was an Altima and had to fill up the tank. You know, you got to give it back filled up. So Kathy filled it up and brought it home today because today I went and got my truck from the insurance company. And she said, you know what it cost me to fill up this tank? I said, how much? She said, $47. So it hurts us. We are middle class. We're not even on the high end of middle class, Kathy and me. We're in the middle. So it hurts. It hurts like hell. It hurts when a tree comes down on your house and you find out your homeowner's is $1,000 deductible and your auto insurance is $500 deductible. We have that because we can't afford to get any lower deductibles. Jay, I'm not bitching. I have a job and I have health insurance, so I'm not bitching at all. Jason writes, this should give your audience a perspective about how big $1 billion really is. If you had $1 billion and spent $1,000 a day, it would take 2,740 years to spend it all.
Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break, he works all day every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make enough money to take care of his baby.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now. Now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
I hear the voices.
I'm gonna leave the city. Got to get
10 before the hour. Yeah, he hears the voices. Of course he does. It's the Haints talking to him. George, we got another country we want you to invade. All right, let's do just a little bit of Bush here before the break at the top of the hour. Bush discussing energy policy in Washington, D.C. yesterday. We got energy policy. We're going to have some corn. Now, call this too little, too late, or Operation Save My Approval Rating. It's your choice. Here the Texas oil man gets all tough talking about his oil company cronies. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Don't worry, boys. I just have to stand up here and say this crap.
This administration is not going to tolerate manipulation.
That's a big word.
Record oil prices and large cash flows also mean that Congress has got to understand that these energy companies don't need unnecessary tax breaks like the write-offs of certain geological and geophysical expenditures.
Big words.
Or use of taxpayers' money to subsidize energy companies' research into deep water drilling.
Ooh.
I'm looking forward to Congress to take about $2 billion of these tax breaks out of the budget over a 10-year period of time. Cash flows are up. Taxpayers don't need to be paying for certain of these expenses on behalf of the energy companies.
Yeah, applaud, 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 applaud. Now, you dumb bastards who are applauding, yoo-hoo, $2 billion over 10 years? Woo! What is that, $200 million a year? Woo! Lunch money! Damn, our goes our lunch money. Man, somebody ought to tell George that these oil executives spend more than that on hookers. You know, I mean, come on. Damn. What did he say? This administration is not going to tolerate manipulation? Tell that to the boys at Kellogg Brown and Root or Halliburton who are raping a corpse. Continuing to rape a corpse. The corpse is Iraq. And these necrophiliacs at Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root continue to rape and rape and rape this corpse. Well, that's not manipulation. That's right. That's necrophilia. That's a big word, Georgie. Starts with an N. Necrophilia. Part two in his Operation Stop My Impeachment Plan. Here it is. Stop the deposits into the strategic oil reserve. Oh, this is a biggie. Watch for your gas prices at the pump to plunge, truth seekers.
If prices are high, it means demand is greater than supply. One way to ease price is to increase supply. One immediate way we can signal to people we're serious about increasing supply is to stop making purchases or deposits to the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for a short period of time.
Oh.
Directed the Department of Energy to defer filling the reserve this summer.
It's already 97% full! You monkey face freak! Remember a few years back, I don't know, 1,000 years ago, I think it was back in 1998 when we had an oil problem or something, and Clinton talked about doing basically the same thing, and every filthy, degenerate, human flesh-eating Republican in the House and the Senate stood up on their hind legs and screamed that Bill Clinton was trying to manipulate public opinion. You remember that? You animals. Well, you're not animals. You're half animal, half human. So he's going to stop deposits to the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for a short period of time. I directed the Department of Energy to defer filling the reserve this summer. That's really going to help. Boy, oh boy. That's really going to... You know, if prices are high, it means demand is greater than supply. And I got another news flash for you here. Water's wet. I'm pretty smart, huh? Forget that Harkin oil thing. I'm pretty smart. Now, my favorite part of his plan, ease the EPA restrictions. Here it comes on the amount of pollutants allowed in gas emissions, what he calls needless restrictions. Yeah, let's put the lead back into it, too. I wonder how long he's had this plan up his sleeve. Seems like another gift to his oil buddies. To me, how about to you?
We also need to ensure that there are not needless restrictions on our ability to get gasoline to the pump.
Oh.
Under federal quality... air quality laws, Some areas of the country are required to use fuel blend called reformulated gasoline.
Gotta stop that!
Some have contacted us to determine whether or not they can ask the EPA to waive local fuel requirements on a temporary basis. And I think it makes sense that they should be allowed to. So I'm directing EPA Administrator Johnson to use all his available authority to grant waivers that would relieve critical fuel supply shortages.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea, you capital D dumb capital B bastard! The little tinky winky EPA restrictions that are on emissions now?
Well, they're not tinky winky, Mike. They're pretty big.
When your planet is dying, when your people can't breathe, they're tinky-winky, trust me. Okay? Really, trust me. So that's the problem then. Oh, I get it. I get it. Yeah, got to ease those environmental restrictions. You know, pollutants, schmollutants. You know, if you don't like pollutants and you live in some big city someplace, be like what we do. We go to down there to the ranch in Texas. Hell, we don't have pollution down there. Or, like the oil company executives, they go to Pacific Islands, which will soon disappear because of the rising oceans due to global warming that they're causing!
But, if you can't take a nice vacation to the Swiss Alps, you know, the snow's all melting up there, so it's not like you're going to freeze your ass off or anything. Or you can go to Alaska and actually go fishing in the middle of winter now, not on an ice floe, or better yet, watch a dead polar bear float by. But if you guys can't afford nice vacations like that, huh? What? I'm talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm George Bush. I'm trying to ease the EPA restrictions so that gas will come down a penny a gallon. This is Air America. Stick around. We have so much more for you tonight, Truth Seeker.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, the Republican fools put an idiot in the White House. Bush's war machine is bankrupting our country, and middle-class America is screwed again. Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and it's time Bush and his cronies get what they deserve, and you can be the one to make it happen. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, and get your revenge by sending a conservative criminal to federal prison or to the Iraq War. Impeached doesn't pull any punches, folks. And if you haven't ordered your game yet, go to ImpeachBushGame.com and do it today.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Crowley, another warning from Iran as it faces a UN deadline. Iran's supreme leader today warned the U.S. not to attack its nuclear site, saying Iran would hit back twice as hard. According to state TV, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei told workers gathered ahead of the May Day holiday that if the U.S. invades Iran, that American interests, quote, around the world would be harmed. The U.N.'s nuclear watchdog agency has set a Friday deadline for Iran to stop its uranium enrichment activities. Iran has sent its top nuclear official to Vienna for talks with the agency ahead of the deadline. It has been 20 years since the world's worst nuclear power accident. Ukrainians today remembering the 1986 Chernobyl explosion, which sent radiation drifting across large sections of Europe. Some analysts feel it even contributed to the eventual collapse of the Soviet Union. The United Nations recently reported about 9,300 people will likely die of cancers in the years ahead caused by radiation from Chernobyl. 3 days' work, no verdict yet, though, in the death penalty trial of admitted al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. The jurors have now deliberated about 16 hours total as they try to agree on whether Moussaoui should be sentenced to death or life in prison. There were no communications from the jurors today, so no real insight into how they're progressing. Karl Rove made his fifth appearance to a grand jury today investigating the leak of a CIA officer's identity. George Bush's deputy chief of staff testifying about new information in the case, including information that Rove's lawyers talked with a Time magazine reporter during an important time in the case. Special prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald is investigating questions, including why Rove didn't immediately tell prosecutors that he had spoken with a Time reporter about the outed CIA officer back in 2003. Less than 2 weeks ago, Tony Snow said the Bush administration White House had the worst communications operation he's ever seen. That was before he was named to succeed Scott McClellan as the White House spokesman. The outgoing press secretary, McClellan, says Snow will bring a lot of what he called outside perspective to the job. He says Tony Snow will start the week of May 8th, but will not take over the daily White House briefings for several days. This is Air America Radio News.
about 7 past the hour. All right, let's finish up these sound bites on "Too Stupid to Be President" from yesterday, because I want to get on to something else here. The interview with Ed Bradley on CBS's 60 Minutes last Sunday. The one with Ed Bradley and Tyler Drumheller, formerly the CIA's top spy in Europe. And something that Robert Scheer, investigative writer for the Los Angeles Times, until he was fired for being too investigative, what he had to say about it. So let's go back to Bush energy policy yesterday. You know, no gasoline speech from this freak is complete without a few comments about his favorite subject, corn. Like corn. Got to talk a little bit about corn. You know, we grow corn out there in where we grow corn. You know where? I don't know. Iowa? They got Nevada? They don't grow corn there? So here he is on corn.
You don't have to choose between good environment and good economics. You can have both. By the use of technology, and ethanol is an example of what I'm talking about. And ethanol is good for drivers. Ethanol is homegrown.
Yeah.
Ethanol will replace gasoline consumption.
Consumption.
Ethanol is good for the whole country. And so we're strongly committed to corn-based ethanol produced in America. Yet you've got to recognize there are limits to how much corn can be used. For ethanol. I mean, after all, we got to eat some. And the animals have got to eat.
Oh, Jesus, that is so funny. Ethanol will replace gasoline consumption. Do you know why he talks like that? Because that's the way these complex ideas are explained to him. When his advisors sit him down, they say, "Now, George, here's what you got to say. You don't have to choose between a good environment." Repeat that, George. You have to change between a good environment, a good environment, a good environment. That's good. We got to eat some. Ethanol is homegrown, he says. Well, a lot of things are homegrown there, George.
You'd know about that there, wouldn't you, buddy?
No. That's right. I was corrected about that last night. George probably has never smoked a doobie in his life. It would show if he had. He wouldn't be as psychotic. Now, if you're listening and you're under the age of 20, don't even.
Mom, Mike Malloy said, you know, smoking pot isn't that bad. That's why I got this pound in my bedroom.
Don't you even do that. Now, finally tonight, President Chucklenuts announcing his new press secretary. From here on out, it's a snow job. I wonder why somebody didn't write that for him. It's a snow job. So there he was today in the James Brady briefing room. There's irony there, too, but never mind. So here he is introducing the snow job.
Good morning. I'm here in the briefing room to break some news. I've asked Tony Snow to serve as my new press secretary.
Break some wind, too.
Tony already knows most of you, and he's agreed to take the job anyway. And I'm really glad he did. I'm confident that Tony Snow will make an outstanding addition to this White House staff. I'm confident he will help you do your job.
He'll help. Yeah, well, there's more truth to that than you could ever know, George. And he goes on.
He brings a long record of accomplishment to this position. He's taught children in Kenya.
What?
He belongs to a rock band called Beats Working.
Beats Working?
For 7 years, he served as the host of Fox News Sunday.
Really?
Most recently, he reached Americans all across our country as the host of the Tony Snow Show on Fox News Radio.
No.
And Weekend Live with Tony Snow on the Fox News Channel.
And he's an active member and poster at FreeRepublic.com, an honest to God freeper on the payroll, member of the, Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, the Masonic Lodge number 743-J. And is he Catholic? Is this guy Catholic? Is he Jewish? Snow. Snow. Is that Catholic? Snow. Snow. I don't know. Sounds Catholic. Or is it Protestant? Jewish? Snow. At least the Bush crime family has stopped faking all that bat squeeze about changing the tone in Washington, right? And not playing partisan politics and reaching out to the other side in bipartisanship. Tony Snow is going to be a lot of fun. He really is. The snow job. The snowman. What are we going to call him? Are we going to call him the snowman? The snow job? The snowman?
His nickname will reveal itself in time, Grasshopper.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. All right. Oh, by the way, it was not Prudhoe Bay. Bill in Alaska reminds me it was Prince William Sound in 1989. It wasn't the early 90s. Boy, man, when I screw up, I just screw up completely. Prince William Sound, Alaska, 1989. So we're coming up close to 20 years that Exxon has not paid what the courts ordered them to pay. Nice, huh? Got to make that profit. And this is from Tom. You think BP is a rascal? Boeing has just been fined $15 million, lunch money, for giving Red China the chip necessary for their nuclear missile guidance systems that they packed into those 94 jumbo jets that sell for $60 million each. Maybe we'll get those chips back someday as they fly into L.A., San Francisco, and Seattle. Oh, my God. So here it is from, about 2 weeks ago, Associated Press. Boeing Company has agreed to pay $15 million to settle federal allegations that it broke the law by selling commercial airplanes equipped with a small chip that has military applications. It is among the largest fines the company has ever faced for violation of the Arms Control Export Act, which regulates the sale of defense products to overseas interests. According to the State Department charges, Boeing shipped 94 commercial jets overseas between 2000 and 2003 that carried the QRS-11 gyro chip embedded in the flight boxes. At the time, the chip used in the guidance system of the Maverick missile is on a list of products that require a license. Oh, never mind. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We are to become a surf state. We had our century. It started with the advent of the Spanish-American War, and it ended in the jungles of Vietnam. We had our century. It's over. Do you understand that? It's over. No, I'm not being negative, not being a skunk at the picnic or anything of the sort. It's just over. America is no longer what it was, and it never will be again, thanks to three people, Nixon, Reagan, and Bush. Bush Jr. Bush Sr. was just a lump. Nixon, Reagan, Bush Jr., they have destroyed America. Do you understand that? That's hard to sink in, isn't it? Huh? I know it's tough. I know a lot of you are going to say, well, I've had enough of this crap, and switch stations. Well, go ahead. That's okay. That's okay if you need to do that. But you know this is the truth. How are we going to come back? What are we going to do? You tell me. How are we going to come back? Undo NAFTA? Nobody seems to be able to figure out why all of our little dusky brethren from south of the border are slamming across that invisible line to get here for jobs. It's because of NAFTA. What did it used to be? Lettuce pickers. Remember Cesar Chavez? Grape pickers. Wasn't that about it? NAFTA. GATT. Globalization. The Mexican economy has been destroyed. The American economy has been destroyed. Who has benefited? Well, the leader of the country that has benefited the most was just here having his coat pulled on by George W. Monkey Man. Hu Jintao. Oh, I like America. Hu Jintao. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to turn off me. I'm just too negative tonight, right? America's dead? Nah, Sean Hannity will tell you America's alive and kicking. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I wanna be...
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
I got a pretty good antennae.
Snowblower. That would be good. Snowblower, snow job, snowman.
I like Snow Whitey.
Snow Whitey. Program note, I want you to hear somebody tomorrow night. He is he works at our San Diego affiliate, KLSD. He'll be filling in for me tomorrow night. His name is John Elliott. John Elliott. So as you're listening tomorrow night, if you want to send an email to John, well, I don't know what to tell you. You'll have to figure out how to do that. Go to his website, John Elliott, KLSD in San Diego. I'll be in the air, I hope, on my way to Sacramento. You can go to the johnelliottshow.com. That's what it is. JohnElliott, johnelliottshow.com. And if you're in the Sacramento area of the Saturday, I'll be moderating the impeachment forum at the Crest Theater, sponsored by the Progressive Caucus of the California State Democratic Party and our affiliate in Sacramento, 1320 AM, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can get more details available at MikeMalloy.com. So I'll be doing the program Friday night from out there, and then Monday night, while I'm in the air, I hope, Peter Werby will be filling in for me. I'm a nervous flyer. I don't care. I've lived long enough.
Denial.
Say what?
Understatement.
Understatement. All right. The I want to talk just for a minute here about the... first of all, Robert Scheer, I'm sure you all are familiar with him, one of the best writers in America, writing at Alternet, has a confession. He says in the fall of 2004, during a crucial presidential election campaign, Scheer writes, "I made the mistake of playing by corporate media rules that amount to self-censorship. Specifically," Scheer writes, "I joined other journalists in denying the public the right to learn of a definitive investigative report by CBS's 60 Minutes on President Bush's disregard for the truth concerning the weapons of mass destruction threat allegedly posed to the United States by Iraq. Having received an advanced copy of the devastating segment, I honored CBS's proprietary request not to write about the news it carried until after it aired. Only it never aired. CBS got cold feet, probably because of Dan Rather's troubles over an unrelated story critical of the president. The suppressed story was solidly reported, and by exposing the Bush administration's utter disregard for the truth concerning Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, the story should have been made available to the public before the November election. Now, no one seems to care." The segment, Robert Scheer writes, "finally aired this past Sunday in a more robust form. Unfortunately, the response has been tepid. It seems the media, at least, have become jaded with all the endless examples of this president's perfidy, but the CBS story remains very important as further evidence of the depths of the Bush administration's deception. Perhaps most damning is an interview added for the broadcast version, an interview with Tyler Drumheller, a CIA veteran of 26 years service who was the agency's top spy in Europe until his retirement a year ago." Now, you can go to alternet.org and get the rest of the story, or the rest of Robert Scheer's column, which you probably should do. A summary of what the segment was about last Sunday. Tyler Drumheller proved that the Bush administration dismissed clear-cut evidence undermining Bush's central case for war that Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction. Now, that's the story, and Scheer is right. We all know, most of us who think, even a little bit, that part of our brain that has been totally made to forget stuff, we know he's a lying son of a bitch who caused this country deliberately to attack another country without provocation for no reason other than to establish this steel gulag surrounding the China, and of course to steal and loot and plunder Iraq's natural resources and U.S. tax money as it flows to Iraq and winds up in the hands of people like Dick Cheney and the Carlyle Group and the rest of these pigs.
But the part of the story that I think, and I think Scheer believes this, I know Media Matters believes this, the part of the story now that has taken on a life of its own is how mainstream media has ignored what was on television last Sunday night. Totally ignored it. In the nearly 4 days since the report aired, the media have, with the exception of MSNBC's Countdown with Keith Olbermann and several brief wire articles, entirely ignored the story. Well, we're probably going to ignore most of it too, but a little bit more when we come back, okay? I'm Mike Malloy.
Dialogue so sad. This one will be why I would believe it. But this one will be I could get up and leave.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control. First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags. And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
My name's Rachel, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
I'll start drinking in middle school, and I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. So Tyler Drumheller's interview, the former highest-ranking CIA official in Europe, the interview the other night about the Bush crime family knew, they knew, that there was nothing there, specifically and deliberately. Drumheller disclosed that about 6 months before the invasion, Najee Sabri Ahmad al-Hadithi, Saddam's foreign affairs minister, agreed to provide the CIA with all of Iraq's military secrets. Now, according to Drumheller, when then CIA director Tenet personally shared the views with Bush, Cheney, and then National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, quote, they were excited that we had a high-level penetration of Iraqis, end quote. Sabri subsequently informed intelligence officials that Saddam, quote, had no active weapons of mass destruction program, end quote. But when the White House learned of Sabri's disclosure in September 2002, quote, they stopped being interested in the intelligence, close quote. Drumheller recounted the administration's reaction, quote, the group that was dealing with preparation for the Iraq War came back and said they're no longer interested. And we said, well, what about the intel? And they said, well, this isn't about intel anymore. This is about regime change, end quote. Now, who has reported on this? The 60 Minutes thing. Media Matters for America examined cable and network news coverage on April 24th from 6 a.m. Eastern Time to midnight, and on April 25th from 6 a.m. to midnight, and also looked at newspaper and wire coverage for mentions of the 60 Minutes report. Here is the results of their survey. None of the three major networks reported on the story on either their morning shows or evening newscasts. And remarkably, this included CBS, the network that originally aired Drumheller's disclosure. While CNN.com ran an April 23rd article on the 60 Minutes interview, CNN and Fox News have yet to mention the story on the air. The April 24th edition of Countdown with Keith Olbermann included MSNBC's only report on the story. Drumheller is scheduled to appear on the April 25th edition of Hardball with Chris Matthews. The New York Times published an April 22nd article on the Drumheller interview based on partial transcripts released by CBS, but no major newspaper on either the 23rd, 24th, or 25th of April printed an additional article on the story. And finally, both the Associated Press and UPI published brief April 23rd articles on Drumheller's revelations before his 60 Minutes interview aired on CBS. These represent the only wire reports on Drumheller's disclosure. So, it's just, oh God, I don't know what. Heartbreaking? I think it's because, perhaps, all the major news outlets know that Bush is a lying murderer, and Cheney is, and this disgusting old bat Rumsfeld is, and Condoleezza Rice, all of them. And major corporate news outlets, they know this. They go, yeah, okay, so what? You know, we had a great time during the invasion. We got to embed our reporters. Only a few of them got blown away. You know, we lost a couple NBC, we lost a couple there. 66 journalists had been murdered by Bush's invasion in Iraq. Of those 66, what, about 8, 10, 12, 15 of them are Americans? So the major corporate news gathering organizations, pause for a laugh, understand all of this. They know that Bush is a liar, all of them lied, and that we are losing young men and young women, and not so young men and not so young women in this war, and we are murdering Iraqis like there's no tomorrow, and they are murdering each other now thanks to us, and it just goes on and on. And the attitude is, why report it when you have upper middle class white girls disappearing in Aruba? Why report, you know, why report the nastiness of war? We're not supposed to anyway. You know, we know it's a lie. We're not just not going to report it. Okay, that's all I've got to say about that. Let's do some phone calls. Let's start with Ron in Loveland, Colorado. Ron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not too bad. Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't get a little more time last night to talk, but I was really interested in catching that MSNBC rebroadcast of the Tyler Drumheller interview. It was pretty interesting.
MSNBC? And, MSNBC rebroadcast the CBS program? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. That's good.
It was interesting. Very interesting. Do you think that in 06, when hopefully we take over either the House or the Senate, that we can get some of these guys under oath and, you know, testify and get the articles of impeachment started against Bush?
I don't know. I don't think the Democratic Party has the spine, the backbone, the courage, the dedication to this country that would be required to impeach these sons of bitches and get them out of office. I'm sorry, I just don't. There are a few members of the Democratic caucus who have that strength of character, but the majority of the Democrats now in office, and perhaps the ones who will come to office, will be go along, get along, sneaks, thieves, liars, cowards. So I am not encouraged that justice will prevail over people who took us into a war. I think the weakest, most wimpy Democrat is better than the average Republican, but I don't have a lot of faith. I just want to see the Democrats get recontrol so that then we have some breathing room so that we can elect whoever it is. It may be Democrats, it may be Greens, it may be Independents, and get rid of the Democratic Party's dead waste, dead wood that is corrupting this party and driving it into the ground. That's all I'm hoping for, pal.
I'm right there with you, Mike. I'm just tired of the constant lies of the Bush crime family. The only thing they seem to have told us the truth about is that they would run this country like a corporation. You know, Enron comes to mind.
Yeah, well, they all had stock in Enron. Every single one of these pigs had stock in Enron. And then Bush says... what was his name? Ken Lay? Ken who? I don't even know him. Yeah, terrible stuff. Ron, thanks for checking in, pal. I do appreciate it. All right, take care. If you're driving, drive safe. I think you're driving there. I don't know. Maybe not. Edmund is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Edmund, welcome to the program.
Thank you. The three things. One, now we know why Tenet got his medal.
Oh, sure.
He didn't bust George when he knew he could have bust George straight away.
Oh, George Tenet, in a different society, different culture, different time, different nation, would have been executed a long time ago. Remember, one word for you, Beria. Do you remember that name?
Yeah, yeah.
The Russian, head of the Russian secret.
Kagaba, KGB. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
You got it.
NVD. The second thing is that the Hu Jintao, of course they had a nice little conversation. He said, America keep buying, and Bush said, China keep buying our bonds.
That's right.
It's the keep the cart up before they decide to call in everything and we become another province of the People's Republic. And then the other thing about Ahmadinejad, I don't know if someone could, you know, go into his history, but he may be one of the, we bought somebody along the way and now he's in control. I don't know.
It could be. Wasn't he one of the rioting Iranian students, though?
Yes. He was supposedly one of the ones that.
Supposedly.
Was...
Now, yeah. I don't know if I buy it or not. I saw that picture leading the blindfolded employees out of the U.S. embassy, and they said, "Well, this is a Minajad." You know, I don't know. But what you think he might be an agent of the CIA?
Well, you know, if we had the information minister of Iraq. And the CIA said, this is our guy, and we're going to get the gold mine. You know, along the way, you can buy people along the way. It doesn't take much. And when they eventually get into position, he came out of nowhere. I'd never heard of him.
Well, no, but then you and I probably don't follow Iranian parliamentary politics that closely, do we? Or do you?
I have an undergrad in Southeast Asia, Middle East from Ohio State.
Oh, okay. Well, then I retract the question.
and then the other thing about the corporate media, the reason why the corporate media does not do it, because it would indicate itself as culpable in the knowledge of the stuff that happened before the election.
That's right.
And they would lose all credibility, and, you know, we might have to have the fairness doctrine put back in, et cetera, et cetera. It would pee off the Republicans that own everything and manage the news.
Well, it would also drive respect for media to an even lower point than it is already, which to me is the chickens more or less coming home to roost.
Right.
There are some good journalists left. There really are, and I think Robert Scheer is one of them. But even he had to start that piece I shared with you with a mea culpa about 2 years ago when he had the information, like so many journalists did, and he was asked to withhold it until CBS aired it, and he did, and then it was never aired, and he continued to hold it. So, even the good journalists, I think, have been, in some instances, co-opted and twisted into an unrecognizable pretzel-like shape that does not resemble journalism at all. Edmund, thanks for calling. I got a break here. I appreciate it. Take care, okay? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
The mayor for an illegal favor sold the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married Green Sea Court and gave birth to little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship if he dies and wants to go out of the sky. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human race dumped in the Nile. Well, one thing is certainly true. No one here knows what to do, and I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
In the beginning, there was National Lampoon, Spy Magazine, and This is Spinal Tap. Then, comedy writer Tony Hendra showed us his spiritual side in the New York Times bestseller, Father Joe. The Times Book Review called his memoir extraordinary, luminescent, and profound. But had Tony Hendra lost his comic edge? Ah, ye of little faith. Tony Hendra is back with a brand new novel, The Messiah of Morris Avenue. It's a slyly comic, deeply spiritual novel that imagines the second coming and an unlikely, lovable human new savior. Frank McCourt, the author of Angela's Ashes, says The Messiah of Morris Avenue is just what this country needs right now. A good dose of merriment in the face of craw-thumping righteousness. A rowdy book, but Lord, it's beautiful. And comedian George Carlin says it simply, I love this book. Thank heaven for Tony Hendra. The Messiah of Morris Avenue is at a bookstore near you from Henry Holt. Spread the word.
talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. I got an email here from Herb in Mississippi. He wants to let me know that things are going well for in collecting a few bucks for Janice in Michigan, the woman who called in, the 60-something woman who called in with no lights on in her house, no job, charged up her cell phone at her neighbor's house. And Herb writes, I'll be sending her the amount not sent already tomorrow. And Herb wants me to mention that the response from people who heard that story and heard Janice on the phone call, the response has been very encouraging, very decent of people. And they're getting close to the point where at least she can get her power on. Oh, my God. Herb writes, I would like to keep it going for another week and then see if we should declare an end to it. As we will have given her a good bit of help and done as well as possible. Please let the people know we are close to being able to make a decent, provide decent help to Janice. All right, if you're still interested in that, just email me. I'll forward it on to Herb in Mississippi, who's handling this. Thanks again, Herb. You're a true American. If you don't know the story, well, I just told you. You know, it was a woman about my age who had her power turned off. She's unemployed, really has nobody to turn to, tried to get the state aid or help or welfare or whatever, and they told her to come back in 6 weeks or some nonsense. And just a matter of, I understand. This story can be repeated millions of times. I understand that. But this is a woman that called the program. And I got just an abundance of emails after her phone call, people saying, well, what can I do? You know, I want to contribute $5 or $10. The last I heard, she's still looking for a job. She is a legal secretary and is looking for, if you're an attorney in the Detroit area, send and could use some help, legal assistant, legal secretary. If you use a part-time or full-time employee, send that on too, and I'll forward that to Herb. But anyway, thanks to everybody who has participated in this. Once again, you all just knock my socks off when we have an issue like this come up, and you respond. I don't know why that knocks my socks off. I've got the best radio audience in talk radio. It's about 7 before the hour. Let's, guess who's on the line. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program.
You want to talk about the people who listen to your program? Dear God, they are generous.
Yeah, that's
and they,
for sure.
They are loving and they are caring and like the rest of, like that.
Yeah, you got a few cards when you had some surgery, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. a few.
Well, good. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
So, anyhow. We're talking about, you know, our illustrious leader.
Yeah.
I know you don't like people to read, but this is a couple of lines I want to make sure I get it right.
Go ahead.
But it is the thought that matters, the application of intellect to an intellectual problem. Bush has been studiously anti-science, a man of applied ignorance, who has undernourished his mind with the empty calories of comfy dogma. Don't you just love that? I must attribute that to one Richard Cohen columnist from Washington Post.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a man of applied ignorance.
I love that, applied ignorance.
Yeah, who has undernourished his mind with the empty calories of comfy dogma.
Oh, God.
Oh. You know, and then we're faced with the price of gasoline, which has nothing to do with anything but the futures market. I mean,
right.
These speculators on Wall Street careful, Marge.
Yeah, be careful, please. Don't ever make me dump Marge, please.
Bite my tongue.
Bite your tongue.
But they could care less.
Yeah.
About what people need or feel or anything like that. You know, we got this crud, this lying sack of crap on trial in Houston two of them, and he's saying that she didn't know what was going on.
Right, right. Don't you like it? Skilling and Lay, they just said, what? Was there a problem? What? We didn't know.
I didn't know.
It was, who are they blaming? The other guy that's already been convicted?
Fastow.
Yeah, Fastow. It was Fastow. It wasn't me. It was Fast Eddie, not me. What? Was something going on? There's gambling in this establishment? Really?
Oh, jeez. And then what really, the two things that really get, you know, oh, you say, now after, you know, everybody was jumping up and down that they were going to sell the handling of the ports to a Dubai company.
Right.
Now, after all these years, dear God in heaven, they're going to run security checks on 400,000 employees on the docks.
Right.
400,000? Jesus, Mary and Joseph, what a hell of a way to run a railroad. I got to tell you, these people are so damn dumb.
They couldn't find their butt with both hands. What do you want to bet that some of those members of the Longshoremen's Union, when they run the background checks, they're going to find all kinds of stuff that they will use and say, oh, well, we can't have these people working here. Guys, and for the most part, I guess a few women, who have busted their hump to make a living loading and unloading the stevedores,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to run these background checks now, and they're going to come back and say, well, you know, this guy's a Democrat, or some such nonsense.
You know, why don't they run a background check on that thing in the White House?
Yeah.
And his sidekick.
Yeah.
Tricky Dicky.
Yeah, for real.
Oh,
listen, Marge,
man.
There's the music. Time to break.
Yeah, well, take care. You know, think kind thoughts. Spring is
right.
Coming and like that.
Good to hear from you, Marge. Behave yourself. We'll be back after the break. This is Air America Radio. My name is Mike Malloy.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety. Because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Oil prices fell again Wednesday, dipping below $72 a barrel, about 5% less than the record of more than $75 a barrel last week. American refiners have cranked up gasoline output, easing fears of a supply crunch as the summer driving season approaches. Gas prices continue to rise, with the Energy Department reporting a national average of $2.91 a gallon. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld say they're impressed with Iraq's new prime minister-designate. Rice and Rumsfeld paid a surprise visit to Baghdad Wednesday to meet him. Owen Fay has more.
Rumsfeld says progress in Iraq is unmistakable.
We've now gone through two elections, the drafting of a constitution, a referendum on a constitution, all of which the extremists have tried to stop and failed.
Rumsfeld was in Baghdad to hold meetings with U.S. military commanders, as well as the country's new prime minister, Jawad al-Maliki. Owen Fay reporting.
President Bush has appointed Fox News radio host Tony Snow as the new White House spokesman. In an interview with Fox News, Snow says he took the job because he believes in both the president and the press.
I want to get along with the press corps and understand whatever concerns they may have, and at the same time, try to figure out exactly the technical aspects of doing the job effectively.
To do that, he says he'll have so-called walk-in access to the president and will also have access to every bit of information. Snow replaces Scott McClellan, who recently announced his resignation. Wildlife officials are trying to catch a coyote that bit two children yesterday in Bellevue, Washington. Within the past month, a woman and a toy poodle were also attacked. Officials say they believe the same coyote may be involved because of the proximity of the attacks. The two children were treated for bites, and one has begun rabies prevention vaccinations. The American oil industry's main trade organization says it does not expect widespread shortages of gasoline supplies this summer. American Petroleum Institute chief economist John Felmy says, however, the outlook for prices is cloudy.
We don't know what's going to happen with crude oil prices, which is the most important component, and we don't know what will happen with the final transition that we have of going from winter to summer fuels.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow night, sitting in for me, John Elliott of our San Diego affiliate, KLSD. I'll be on the way to Sacramento. You can find out about John by going to his website, J-O-N, John. Elliott is two L's and two T's, johnelliottshow.com. And if you're in the Sacramento area this Saturday evening, 8 o'clock, be at the Crest Theater, okay? I'll be moderating an impeachment forum there, another one. We're going to get this guy. I swear we're going to get him. If you listen on 1320 AM, Sacramento's left channel, I would love to meet you. So come on by Saturday night. You can get details of this at MikeMalloy.com. But do tune in to listen to John Elliott tomorrow night. I have not heard his program before, but I get it on very good sources that this guy is an up-and-coming talk show host, and he is going to make it to the big time. So tune in so you can say, hey, I heard him back when. All right? Will you do that? Thank you. Priscilla is calling from Montana. Priscilla, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I heard this little snippet this evening when I was toodling around in my shop. The proceedings in the Supreme Court, of course, are not televised, not recorded. But I heard Nina Totenberg reporting on it. And they were talking about the case in California where the anesthetist would not attend the Capitol killing this guy. Remember mm-hmm. that? And apparently this has gotten to the Supreme Court. And it was kind of gross that the justices were laughing about it, and Stevens got his knickers in a knot and said, you know, this is not a laughing matter. And Scalia said...
Laughing about it?
Yeah. I mean, they seemed to be thinking that this was kind of funny that they were discussing it. I mean, I only caught this in passing, Mike, and I didn't make notes on it. I was busy working. And then Scalia said, well, why shouldn't he die in excruciating agony?
Oh, Jesus.
And
well, because we have a constitutional amendment that kind of prescribes dying in excruciating agony.
I just couldn't believe it. It made me sick. You know, I was cooking dinner and I couldn't eat it.
Well, Scalia is a Opus Dei Catholic, and I'm sorry if I'm...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And if there's one thing Opus Dei Catholics believe in is pain and suffering... here on earth, and of course in hell and any place else it can be administered because of the pain and suffering suffered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well,
so yeah, the Opus Dei people really, really do believe in just whatever amounts of pain can be heaped onto the human body. This is just and one is supposed to bear it with great dignity and silence, this suffering, because that's the way their Savior did. And as far as someone who is being prepped for execution, and then the actual administering of these drugs, if it, like Scalia said, if it causes ungodly pain, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's God working in His mysterious ways.
Mike, it's grotesque.
What is
this country come to?
Well, I don't know that it's... I don't want to get into a big discussion here, but I don't... Yes, it is this country. Yes, it is Scalia. Yes, 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 he is Catholic. But to me, it's the whole religious thing. This is...
I don't think it's got anything to do with Catholicism.
Well,
I mean,
this is
the guy who gave the finger to a reporter coming out of church.
I understand, but to me, this is part of what religion produces, is fanatics and freaks and psychopaths like Tony Scalia, who I don't think Scalia is celebrating pain and suffering from a humanist point of view or a secular point of view. He's celebrating it strictly, as far as I'm concerned, from a religious point of view. His religious beliefs are awash in blood and death and suffering and dismemberment and the stake and torture and burning people and...
I had a wonderful day, and it ruined my day.
Well, I'm glad I didn't hear it. I really am, because it would have ruined mine.
Well, you know, hopefully there are enough of us out there to counteract this dreadful, dreadful stuff.
I hope that's the case.
And you're doing a great job, Mike, so keep it up, and I love listening to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Priscilla. Take care. I appreciate you checking in. Parvis is calling from Larchmont, New York. Hey, Parvis.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Fine. I want to talk about resolution in the House. You know, we are seeing deja vu. They had a resolution against Iraq, and look what they did to Iraq. They killed 1.5 million Iraqis by sanctions. Now they're putting sanctions against Iran. You see, 500,000 Iraqi kids died because of sanctions. Now they're going to put sanctions against Iran. And these guys who think they're really morally superior, they are despicable. You know, they don't have enough of the blood of the Muslim kids. They want to kill the Muslims for oil. You know, they're killing us for oil, for heaven's sake. You know, Mike, I came here in 1963, and they did the same thing to my kids. They did experiments on us. They, without our knowledge, obviously, they injected plutonium into my wife anytime she got pregnant in order to see how they can have an antidote against the effect of plutonium radiation.
No, wait. You're losing me, Parvis.
Yes.
Who injected plutonium into your pregnant wife?
The United States government, in cooperation with the British, Japanese, and Israeli governments, were doing an experiment to see, first of all, what is the effect of plutonium on the fetuses, and secondly, how they can counteract it. So if there is a war, a nuclear war, with the former Soviet Union, how they can prevent that. In other words, invent an antidote or discover an antidote. And this is what they did to my wife, to my kids. They killed some of my kids, and they changed the DNA of my kids. Anytime they can turn lethal. I mean, these guys are just criminals, and they're pretending that they're moral and ethical people, and we are a country of the braves, a country, you know, of the braves. We're a country of cowards. We're a country of criminals. Look what they're doing. Shame on Congress. Shame on them. And this Lantos, you know, talks about, oh, if Iran has this, we're going to be sorry. He's going to attack us. Iran has not attacked any country for 250 years. Why Mr. Lantos does not talk about
Parvis,
all the...
Parvis, yes. With all due respect,
yes.
how did they change your children's DNA?
Okay. By putting this plutonium into my wife's blood. Anytime she got pregnant, you know, they injected it saying this is a flu vaccine or whatever. And she got this into the blood and through placenta.
Did you know that your wife was... How did you find out?
Okay, in 1993, after Clintons had gone into the White House, they told me that we are sorry, but
who told you, Parvis?
The Clintons. You know, a representative from Clintons told us we are sorry. Anytime your wife got pregnant, we injected her with radioactive material. We can't do anything about it, but. Uh-huh. What do you want? I said, I want these guys to be prosecuted the same way that the Nazis, you know, were prosecuted after, you know, what they did to the Jews. This is the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is the same thing. To my family, it's 100%.
Okay,
and to Iraqis, it's 100%. To now Iranians, they're going to now do... You know, they did a coup d'etat in Iran instead of apologizing to us. They're now going after our oil again. You guys... Disgust me, and you will see. We Iranians will fight you.
I understand. Parvis, I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Actually, George, believe it or not, we are the deciders. Oh, never mind. Back to your phone calls. Dick is calling from Ohio. Dick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I want to make a quick point. They had, you know, Ohio, these gas prices and things are ridiculous. And they was talking about the porch, you know, that we better start supporting that. But I'm telling you, Mike, I don't know. I'd say maybe you better come down here and straighten these people out. Isn't it ridiculous?
Yeah, but that's up to you, Dick. You live in Ohio.
Yeah, I live in Ohio.
Well, it's up to you to organize resistance and you straighten.
I support the media. As you know, I write the legislatures in Ohio about how I feel.
Uh-huh.
And everything like that. But I'll say one thing. Don't that president and some of these people in Ohio cut down our shipping here, like in the rivers, the lake, because we depend on those, Mike. We
mm-hmm.
depend on those. That's my opinion.
That's right.
Well, that's right.
I hear you.
Okay.
Thanks, Dick.
Yeah, anytime, buddy.
All right, sir. Take care. Elizabeth is calling from San Diego. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening. I have two comments. First of all, you really should listen to John Elliott. I listen to him. I don't miss him. And he's definitely an up-and-coming Mike Molloy. Given the choice of listening to the two of you, I would pick you. But given the choice of John Elliott and someone else, I would pick John Elliott in a New York Minute.
Well, I can't wait for him to substitute for me because I've heard real good things about him.
He'll be fabulous.
Good.
And the main reason I'm calling is because I'm wondering, in your opinion, how long is it going to take before they start opening up concentration camps for Muslims in the United States?
It could come any time. If the Bush crime family engineers either actively or passively another attack on this country, and then, as they did last time, blame it on Islamic fundamentalists, that it could happen then.
Well, I've warned a couple of my friends, if you don't hear from me in a week or two, I'm gone.
Well, now wait, what does that mean?
I'm an American Muslim.
Oh, okay. So what would you do? Leave the country?
No, they took me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, you know, I don't know who the camps that are being refurbished by Kellogg Brown and Root, the Halliburton subsidiary, I don't know who these camps are being readied for. They say it's detention centers when legislation is passed to make illegal aliens even more illegal.
Uh-huh.
And
I think they're going to be rehearsing on the American, on the so-called illegal aliens. That'll be the rehearsal. And then when the crunch comes, they're going to just pick all us up and go.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're going to have a fight on their hands when it comes to me.
Well, you're not Muslim, though. You're
Well, no, I'm worse. I'm a liberal.
Well, I'm Muslim and liberal, so I got you on that one.
Well, you win, Elizabeth. All right. Thank you so much for thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. Leanne is calling from San Diego. Leanne, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I love your show. I listen every night.
Thank you.
I heard you a couple of weeks ago, maybe, or talking about Karl Rove, and you had some maybe inside information about him being indicted.
Uh-huh.
And listening today on all the talk shows, and I've been reading everything about it. Sounds to me like he's not going to get indicted.
Rove?
Yeah.
I think
he
is.
They were saying that because Fitzgerald was the one that initiated the proceedings today,
right.
That's kind of like saying to him that, you know, we just want to check your story out one last time, and then we're going to make a decision.
Well, but this is the fifth time, and it's my understanding, I read something that Jason Leopold wrote. We managed to go through the whole program tonight without getting to the Rove thing, but Jason Leopold, writing at truthout.org, today makes it very clear that Rove's appearance before the grand jury today came on the heels of a so-called target letter sent to his attorney by Fitzgerald, signaling that Rove may face imminent indictment.
Really? So
yeah.
They're saying on TV he's not a target. He's a what's the other thing that they call
a subject?
Target?
Yeah,
yes,
well, right. He hasn't been named, I guess not officially, or at least publicly named a target, but he has been sent a letter indicating that he may become a target. Right now he's a subject, and it's my understanding, you know, these arcane rules about how grand juries are run, In the first place, I never cared for grand juries to begin with. They're too much like star chambers because the only people that can appear there are prosecutors and witnesses for the prosecution. You can't defend yourself. And you can't, if you're a witness, you can't bring in an attorney. So I've got a fundamental problem with that. But, by the way, let me digress very quickly. You listened to the program in San Diego. Did you know that, starting, tomorrow night we'll be on all 3 hours?
Oh, I did. Well, tonight you are on all 3 hours, and I went and bought XM radio and, of course, a computer so I could listen to you.
Well,
like,
I guess
But tonight they started having you on at 7 o'clock.
Well, I guess they started then. We were notified by the program director out there that all 3 hours would be carried live, which I think is wonderful. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there, Leanne. Thanks so much for checking in, all right?
And say hi to Kathy.
I'll do it. Take care. Hey, Kathy. Leanne says hi.
And by your man.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
My name's Tyler, and in 9 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. But my parents won't start talking to me about it till high school.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
Thing is, my parents won't even see it coming.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
We'll be right back.
26 before the hour. We're nearing the end of Part 3's Chapter 2, a very critical part of Orwell's 1984. When we left off last night, Winston has been in a situation where he's being tortured, and it's been for an extended period of time. O'Brien is torturing him, and Winston Smith has no idea how long it has been. But all of a sudden, something new is introduced, and that is an injection that feels like a cannon going off in his head. And coming out of that, as Winston called it, explosion, his memory seems to have been totally fried. And now O'Brien continues the interrogation, and we'll pick it up there. "11 years ago, you created a legend about three men who had been condemned to death for treachery. You pretended that you had seen a piece of paper which proved them innocent. No such piece of paper ever existed. You invented it, and later you grew to believe in it. You remember now the very moment at which you first invented it. Do you remember that? Yes. Just now, I held up the fingers of my hand to you. You saw five fingers. Do you remember that? Yes. O'Brien held up the fingers of his left hand with the thumb concealed. There are five fingers here, Winston. Do you see five fingers? Yes. And he did see them. For a fleeting instant, before the scenery of his mind changed, he saw five fingers, and there was no deformity. Then everything was normal again, and the old fear, the hatred, and the bewilderment came crowding back in. But there had been a moment. He did not know how long, 30 seconds perhaps, of luminous certainty when each new suggestion of O'Brien's had filled up a patch of emptiness and become absolute truth, and when two and two could have been three as easily as five, if that were what was needed. It had faded, but before O'Brien had dropped his hand, but though he could not recapture it, he could remember it. As one remembers a vivid experience at some period of one's life, when one was, in effect, a different person. You see now, said O'Brien, that it is at any rate possible. Yes, said Winston. O'Brien stood up with a satisfied air. Over to his left, Winston saw the man in the white coat break an ampule and draw back the plunger of a syringe. O'Brien turned to Winston with a smile. In almost the old manner, he resettled his spectacles on his nose. Do you remember writing in your diary, he said, that it did not matter whether I was a friend or an enemy, since I was at least a person who understood you and could be talked to? You were right. I enjoy talking to you. Your mind appeals to me. It resembles my own mind, except that you happen to be insane. Before we bring the session to an end, you can ask me a few questions if you choose. Any question I like? Anything. He saw that Winston's eyes were upon the dial. It switched off. What is your first question? What have you done with Julia? Said Winston. O'Brien smiled again. She betrayed you, Winston, immediately, unreservedly. I have seldom seen anyone come over to us so promptly. You would hardly recognize her if you saw her. All her rebelliousness, her deceit, her folly, her dirty-mindedness, everything has been burned out of her. It was a perfect conversion, a textbook case. You tortured her? O'Brien left this unanswered. Next question, he said. Does Big Brother exist? Of course he exists. The party exists. Big Brother is the embodiment of the party. Does he exist in the same way as I exist? You do not exist, said O'Brien. Once again, the sense of helplessness assailed him. He knew, or he could imagine, the arguments which proved his own non-existence, but they were nonsense. They were only a play on words. Did not the statement, "You do not exist," contain a logical absurdity? But what use was it to say so? His mind shriveled as he thought of the unanswerable, mad arguments with which O'Brien would demolish him. I think I exist, he said wearily. I am conscious of my own identity. I was born and I shall die. I have arms and legs. I occupy a particular point in space. No other solid object can occupy the same point simultaneously. In that sense, does Big Brother exist? It is of no importance. He exists. Will Big Brother ever die? Of course not. How could he die? Next question. Does the Brotherhood exist? Well, that, Winston, you will never know. If we choose to set you free when we have finished with you, and if you live to be 90 years old, still you will never learn whether the answer to that question is yes or no. As long as you live, it will be an unsolved riddle in your mind. Winston lay silent. His breast rose and fell a little faster. He still had not asked the question that had come into his mind the first. He had got to ask it, and yet it was though his tongue would not utter it. There was a trace of amusement in O'Brien's face. Even his spectacles seemed to wear an ironical gleam. He knows, thought Winston. He knows what I'm going to ask. At the thought, the words burst out of him. What is in room 101? The expression on O'Brien's face did not change. He answered dryly, you know what's in room 101, Winston. Everyone knows what is in room 101. He raised a finger to the man in the white coat. Evidently the session was at an end. A needle jerked into Winston's arm. He sank almost instantly into deep sleep.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety, no surprise, the end, I'll never.
It's about 18 before the hour. Scary. All right, back to your phone calls. Ira is calling from New Jersey. Ira, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking the call, Mike.
Sure.
I've been following the Fitzgerald grand jury. Alternative media seems to have a little more about what's being gone into than corporate media. You saw today about Roe testifying again?
Yes.
You think they're headed at least to an indictment of him? Or maybe he's already indicted and it's just been sealed. I don't know.
I think that would have been made public if Fitzgerald had issued any sealed indictments. I think he finished up with Libby, and he's been working on a couple of other people. I don't think Roe will be the last one either. I think there's... still two or three to come, frankly.
Alternative media, I don't know how credible it is or not. Sometimes some stuff is, sometimes it isn't. But they have him getting into, that is Fitzgerald, or his assistants, getting into the scandal with the yellow cake from Niger.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9/11 funding, and that could be... Could be why Valerie Plame was outed, because she was, when she was not known, so to speak, before she was outed, she, her people were getting into things that might have had to do with 9/11, some other stuff that would have been embarrassing, obviously embarrassing.
Well, I haven't heard that. What I think is fact is that Valerie Plame was involved in scoping out Iran's nuclear program and the people involved. We have to keep something in mind. Valerie Plame was a deeply covered spy. She,
right.
Now, she was so deep that she could operate more or less openly. with the businesses that she set up and so on and so forth. Valerie Plame was the quintessential CIA deep cover operative, and one of the things she was working on was this Iranian nuclear thing. So, as far as 9/11, I don't think that Fitzgerald is going to touch that with an 80-foot pole. I really don't.
I'm inclined to agree with you, notwithstanding what I'm reading. But that's...
plus, he's got a kind of a limited mandate. I think he has been able to determine that he can go outside his mandate because of the ripple effect of what he's finding out about the lies that were told regarding the Valerie Plame case. But he can't go too far outside of his mandate. He just can't because he's been ordered to investigate the leak that led to the outing of Valerie Plame. If he goes beyond that, he can't do that with this grand jury. He'll have to impanel a new one. So I think it's pretty much limited to the Valerie Plame case. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Ira, thank you so much. I appreciate you checking in. Take care, pal. We'll be right back. All right, we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Standing up to the flying monkey ride, it's more of Mike Malloy.
You know, the part that I love about the song was not so much the song, it's the Academy Award winner for 2005. But it was when the guys came up to get their statues and they thanked Jesus. This is how it is. It might be new to you, but it's been like this for years. Jesus apparently liked the song about it's hard out here for a pimp so much that Jesus influenced the voters in the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to the extent that they gave the Academy Award for this song. Thank you, Jesus. You remember the guy said, thank you, Jesus. Ow! It's hard out here for a pimp. Our program was engineered tonight by Justin Yuen, Vicki Hipple, and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac. Thanks to everybody. Dee Neal answered your call. She's our associate producer. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. And don't forget, if you're in the Sacramento area this Saturday evening, I'll be moderating an impeachment forum at the Crest Theater in that city at 8 p.m. It's sponsored by the Progressive Caucus of the California State Democratic Party, which is having its convention at the same time, and co-sponsored by our affiliate in Sacramento, 1320 a.m., Sacramento's Left Channel. And don't forget to join John Elliott of our San Diego affiliate, KLSD, tomorrow night. And then on Monday, I'll be back Friday, and then on Monday, my partner in crime, Peter Werby, will be filling in for me. D.B. Cooper is calling in again. He just can't seem to find a place to spend all that money, I guess, but here he is again. Hey, D.B.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, great. I promise to watch what I say tonight. I just want everybody to know about Neil Young's new album.
Oh, yeah.
Called Living with War. He will be streaming it for free. We're expecting his web servers to go up in smoke, but we hope he's like maybe put some extra stuff in there to make sure that they handle the load.
Yeah, I want to at least get the track. What is Impeach the President?
Yep, yep. Actually, Raw Story links to that.
Yeah.
But it's on Fox, of all places.
Well,
yeah, I know. Go figure, huh? But anyway, yeah, you can see all the lyrics there. They have them printed halfway down the story in italics. But, yeah, he'll be streaming that for free starting tomorrow.
Well, that's, the website is going to absolutely explode.
I'm hoping it holds up, but, you know, at least let us know. If it does explode, you know, people start putting up mirrors and BitTorrents and all that good stuff.
Well, you know, just dwelling on that for a second, I would expect, what, 2-4 million hits?
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah. I'm talking about the first 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, Neil's got probably more fans than Air America Raw Story and everybody else that's really down on this whole mess anyway.
I'm sure.
So, I mean, Neil is a great catalyst for the whole thing to happen. And you remember, Mick Jagger wouldn't let...
We let
W have the room over there in Belgium or wherever. I thought, that was just funny.
Yeah, the presidential suite or the big.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. And,
he said, "Sorry, I don't like your position on the war," and so he says, "I'm keeping it. You can't have it."
Right. I thought that was great. I thought that was just great. Absolutely great.
Well, let's rock the vote once again.
All right, will do.
Hey, really nice talk to you again, buddy, Mike.
My pleasure, DB. Always good to talk to people who, you know, understand there's certain words we can't use on the program, all right?
When I spend way too much time listening. I'm taking you as you are my mentor. I'm learning what I can and can't get away with saying.
Oh, my God. Thanks, DB. Take care. You have a nice evening. Linda is calling from Portland. Linda, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I should say Portland, Oregon, because
yeah.
Somebody might think it's Portland, Maine.
No, it's Portland, Oregon. Listen,
I enjoyed the program. I certainly agree with your assessments, and especially about little Mr. Howdy Doody and the whole entire entourage up there.
Mm.
But there is a couple of things I would like to ask you. And I've only listened to you maybe a year, if quite that long, something like that anyway, and I haven't caught every single program. But I have never heard you mention anything about the Bilderbergers or the Club of Rome.
Well, you're right. That's because I never have. I don't think I have in 20 years of talk radio.
Well, I wish you would.
Oh, it's just a little too esoteric. I mean, it really
it's
is.
It's not so esoteric, honestly.
Well, no, Linda. People, here's my take on the organizations like that. There's so much out there on the Internet that people can access in half a heartbeat. To try to do topics like that on a radio talk show would be to make people leave in droves. And,
really?
And
okay.
You know, they pay me $200 a week to bring people in, not to chase them away.
Well, I didn't realize. Well, I'm not on the Internet. I don't have a computer.
Right,
so
right.
Much of this material has come from many other written sources. And,
right. And
I don't realize about how you have to program.
Yeah, that's the best place to get it. Those the very interesting topics, the Bilderbergers and the Club of Rome. And so
you know all about that. Okay.
Well, I know as much as the average person who loves to watch the Sopranos and... what else do I love to watch? I guess that's about it right now. Hey, listen, I got to leave there, Linda. We're almost out of time. Thank you very much.
Keep it up. It's Graham.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks for checking in. Kathy's a member of the Club of Rome. So, yeah, I get information. All right. I'll see you Friday. Take care. All right. Thanks for participating in the program. I was going to add if my plane doesn't crash, but, I'll see you Friday. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.